remain in the ghetto until the end of the war, until the arrival of the Red Army. Then everything would be as before. It was neither German nor Jew who ruled the ghetto. It was illusion.
Okay, what does Ellie mean when he writes that illusion ruled the ghetto? Well, I know that an illusion is sort of like a dream. It's when you believe something is true, but it's really not. So maybe Ellie's talking about how the Jews in the ghetto keep telling themselves that everything's okay, when it seems pretty obvious that they are in serious trouble. I mean, look at everything that's happened to them. First, they were told they had to stay inside their homes, and anyone who left would be killed on sight. Then, the Jews were forced to give up their valuables, and the Hungarian police took away all their gold, their money, and their jewels. All Jews were made to wear yellow stars, identifying them as Jews and preventing them from eating in restaurants, riding on trains, and even praying in the synagogue. Eventually, they were rounded up and forced to live in ghettos, special areas surrounded by barbed wire fences to keep the Jews apart from the villagers who aren't Jewish. But even now, the Jews of Sziget can't admit that their situation is getting really dangerous. Instead, they admire the government they have set up for themselves within the ghetto. Do you think this government has any real power? I don't see how it could. And how would you like to live in a ghetto and have all of your rights taken away from you? I think the Jews of Sziget are definitely allowing illusion to rule when they tell themselves that soon everything's going to be just like it was before. Let's continue near the top of page 10, beginning with, "On the Saturday before Pentecost."
On the Saturday before Pentecost, in the spring sunshine, people strolled carefree and unheeding through the swarming streets. They chatted happily. The children played games on the pavements. With some of my schoolmates, I sat in the Ezra Malik Gardens, studying a treatise on the Talmud. Night fell. There were 20 people gathered in our backyard. My father was telling them anecdotes and expounding his own views on the situation. He was a good storyteller. Suddenly, the gate opened and Stern, a former tradesman who had become a policeman, came in and took my father aside. Despite the gathering dusk, I saw my father turn pale. "What's the matter?" we all asked him. "I don't know. I've been summoned to an extraordinary meeting of the council. Something must have happened." The good story he had been in the middle of telling us was to remain unfinished. "I'm going there," he went on. "I shall be back as soon as I can. I'll tell you all about it. Wait for me." We were prepared to wait some hours. The backyard became like the hall outside an operating room. We were only waiting for the door to open, to see the opening of the firmament itself. Other neighbors, having heard rumors, had come to join us. People looked at their watches. The time passed very slowly. What could such a long meeting mean? "I've got a premonition of evil," said my mother. "This afternoon I noticed some new faces in the ghetto. Two German officers, from the Gestapo, I believe. Since we've been here, not a single officer has ever shown himself."
Okay, do you remember the story that Moshe told the other villagers? The story of how the Gestapo murdered Jewish men, women, and children in the forest outside Hungary? Well now, for the first time, two German officers from the Gestapo have appeared inside the ghetto. When Ellie's mother sees them, she has a premonition of evil. A premonition must be a feeling or an instinct. She suspects that the officers will do something evil. And when Ellie's father leaves for an important meeting with the community leaders, other people in the ghetto feel fearful too, as they anxiously await his return. Let's see what Ellie's father has learned at the meeting. Start reading at the top of page 11.